Exodus chapter 25, and I'm just going to read verses 10 and 11 today. Excuse me. This is speaking of the ark, which was in the tabernacle in the wilderness. And they shall make an ark of shittim wood. 2 cubits and a half shall be the length thereof, and 1.5 cubits the breadth thereof, and 1.5 cubits the height thereof. And thou shalt overlay it with pure gold, within and without shalt thou overlay it, and shalt make upon it a crown of gold round about. I like that stuff. I do. As I said last week, when God gave Moses these instructions, he started off, he gave him the list of materials. And then verse 9, which I didn't read, I probably should have. According to all that I show thee, after the pattern of the tabernacle and the pattern of the instruments thereof, even so shall make. Yeah. You want to leave the ye, it out. This was not a request. This was a command.
Yeah.
This was an order. And it's okay because God can give orders. If you got a problem with that, that's your problem. And it's a strict, severe warning. According to all that I show thee after the pattern of the tabernacle. And this is after the pattern of the instruments. I'm going to set them up separate. Thereof, even so, shall make. And I read that, and Walter, what you were talking about the other day at that funeral, popped in my head. Nothing can be put to it. Nothing can be taken from it.
Yeah.
God did it. This is God's plan for God's ark in God's tabernacle. And you're going to build it God's way because it shows God's way. Mm-hmm. It was built accordingly, according to the Lord. The pattern of the tabernacle and the pattern of all the instruments thereof were given by God and to be followed explicitly. The materials to be used are going to be told. How to build it, how big to build it, what to build it out of, he's going to tell. This was a divine plan because it came from a divine God, or the divine God. God leaves nothing for man to add to this plan. Because man really likes to do that. Man was not consulted. He was not asked for his input. He was not even asked if he approved. He didn't have to sign off on the blueprints before they built it. The architect, the great architect, had to design. And he had the material and construction list. And this is how it's going to be built. Because this tabernacle and the instruments thereof have to do with, well, actually they are a type of God's only begotten Son and his substitutionary work. And I'll let you in on a little secret. This is the way God does all his plans. Mm-hmm. It ain't nothing new.
Right.
From here all the way through to the book of Revelations, if it's God's plan, he didn't ask us about it. He didn't consult us about it, and I don't have to initial it anywhere. I have to initial a lot of things at work. But the nice thing about that is I'm really quick at doing my initials now. God's plans are God's plans. And man has nothing to do with them except for what God has planned. God deliberately left man out of the planning stage. And this offends man to no end, especially when you tell him about it. As far as salvation by the grace of Jesus Christ, man was actually left out of the execution phase of the plan. Like that sign said, come to me, I can help. Find your father. If I can come, how much help do I need? I need life. Because if I got life, I'm coming. And woe unto you if you get in my way. Not from me, from somebody else. Don't get in anybody's way. Well, don't worry, you can't. The reason I call this a secret is, as Walter read this a couple weeks ago, Christ gave thanks for it. Father, you've hid these things from the wise and the prudent, and has revealed them unto babes. Because this is all pleasing to God. This plan, this tabernacle, this ark, the mercy seat, the altar, the laver, the table for the showbread. Mm-hmm. This is all pleasing to God. And usually, in his natural state, this is not at all pleasing to man.
Yeah.
Now, the Lord starts giving these instructions for the building of the various components which are going to make up this tabernacle. But the first thing he starts with, number one, the first thing he describes is how to build the Ark of the Testimony. And as far as I'm concerned, that makes this important. Because God doesn't do things willy-nilly. The first instruction given is not how to make the fence that surrounds the tabernacle. The first instruction is not the composition or makeup of the altar. The first instruction is not the making of the tent, the veil, the table, the candlestick, or anything else. The first instruction is not even the mercy seat. It's the ark, which the mercy seat sits on top of. The ark itself came first because everything else in this tabernacle, well, that's what everything points to and everything flows from. It is the central point, the theme of the tabernacle. It is a picture of Jesus Christ. And that's what this thing is. And that's why we're starting there. Because in all things, he should have, but no, he has the preeminence.
Mm-hmm.
All things. Excuse me. Now it said it's made of shittim wood, which the Hebrew word is the word shittah, which is another thing like the gopher wood thing. Like I said, I think it's something they don't know exactly what it is. But most places say acacia, and they say acacia because acacia is tough. I think what Earl said was in the locust family, it's fence post tough. You can leave it out in the weather and it's not going to just rot away like other things will. And this shows this wood, and this hit me the other day, wood is an organic substance. It's organic. It was grown. It had life in it before you cut it up to make a house. It was made of something living. Wood. But this wood, being as tough as it is, shows the incorruptible humanity of Christ. Jesus Christ was and is a man. Mm-hmm. And that's what we're seeing here in this tabernacle. This ark was made of wood. And it says it was 2.5 by 1.5 by 1.5. But you notice there's no top. That comes later. Actually comes next. But this was an open topped box. And it was a box. The reason it was made a box, that's what an ark is. Something to put something in. Just like any other box is made. So there's going to be some stuff put in this box. And I'm not going to get to that right now. But that's what an ark is for. It's for carrying something. This is the third ark in the Old Testament. You got Noah's ark. Then you had, what was it? The ark of the ark that Moses was put in and led out into the river and found by Pharaoh's daughter. Here's Moses with another ark. The Ark of the Testimony. And there's a reason it's called that. We'll get to that too. But the next thing it says about this ark is made of wood, showing Christ's humanity. The next thing it says is that it is, thou shalt overlay it with pure gold. Now this word overlay, I looked, this is one of the things Pink said about this. This is not gilt, where you take a little thin piece of gold and you hammer it into place and you hammer it tight. Now that does come into play later, but this box, it says it's overlaid. One of the definitions in Strong Gifts for this word is plate. This is a plated box. We're going to plate the wood with pure gold. It's not an alloy. There's no contaminants. Pure gold. And gold is the symbol for deity. For being part of the divine. This wooden box was to be plated with pure gold. So you've got wood, humanity. These are the only two elements that make up the ark. There's only two. You've got wood and you got pure gold. You've got humanity and you've got pure God. Pure God, a very God. Organic and inorganic. Gold is a metal. God is a spirit. If you worship Him, you must worship Him in spirit and in truth. God, the Father, is not organic. This is going to be a newsflash for Hollywood. He's not George Burns. He's not the old man upstairs, I hope he likes me, or somebody up there who does like me. No, the rain falls on the just and the unjust alike. And David said, I was envious when I saw the prosperity of the wicked, so I don't know if that's a good thing or not, you know. God is not organic. But Christ, shown here, in the wood and the gold, was the God-man. Mm-hmm. He is the God-man. The same yesterday, the same today, and the same forever. And that's what you see in these two elements. Because whatever this ark represents, you know, it's made of two things. There's a duality. And like I said, with the organic and the inorganic, but when you look at the ark, all you see is gold after it's built. All you see is gold. Deity. The wood's still there. It is an integral part of the ark. Matter of fact, it's surrounded by the deity. On all sides, top, bottom, inside and outside. But it's no longer seen. In the tabernacle, the whole thing, the ark set in the Holy of Holies, within the veil, which was in the tent, a separate room. But in the tabernacle, in the Holy of Holies, in the place where the blood atonement is applied, all you see is deity, gold. That's all you're going to see. God's beloved, well-pleasing Son is the one who came to take away the sins of the world. Jesus Christ is the God-man. Perfect incorruptible humanity and perfect incorruptible deity. Both are shown in the ark. And both show who Christ is. Gold is all you see when you would actually look at that ark. But those that know him know there's wood under that gold. Knows there's two aspects. The God-man. You may not know it very well, and I remember it was kind of a new thought when Earl told me, well, he was right here, or actually in Mapscott, I think the first time he said it, there's a man sitting on the right hand of God in the heavens. This same man you've seen go, this same Jesus you've seen go, he's coming back. Right now he's seated at the right hand of the Father, expecting his enemies to be made his footstool, but he is still a man. And that is, well, in this world, unheard of. It's unknown for the most part. See, it's one of them secrets that's written about all through his book. But they won't read them. And when they do read them, they won't believe them. Moses wrote these instructions down. If you read them and understand them, you will see a picture of the God-man, Jesus Christ, who was to come at this time. 1 Timothy 3:16 says, "And without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness." God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, and received up in the glory. And you're seeing a piece of it right here. It's going to go in this tabernacle. This ark of wood and gold is Jesus Christ. God was made known in the flesh. God was made known in deity and humanity. John 1:14 says, "And the Word was made flesh and dwelt." And that word is tabernacle. You can look it up in Strong's. Earl said that. I remember he first said that too. "And tabernacled among us." This is what a tabernacle is. It's a dwelling place. It's a tent. "And we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth." I say, that's the stuff they're going to put in that ark. Paul wrote it in Hebrews 9. "And after the second veil, the tabernacle, which is called the holiest of all," which I like that, "which had the golden censer, and the ark of the covenant overlaid round about with gold, wherein was the golden pot that had manna," inside the ark, And Aaron's rod that budded, and the tables of the covenant. In this ark, replace these three things. And it tells you later on in the Old Testament. The first thing I remember being told to put in the ark was the two tablets, tables of stone. They had the Ten Commandments written on it. Jesus Christ speaking, or actually David speaking for Christ. Psalms 40 verse 8. I delight to do thy will, O my God. Yea, thy law is within my heart. Those two tablets of stone were put in this ark. There was a pot that held manna. Wasn't Jesus Christ called bread from heaven? Come down from heaven? Where'd manna come from? I don't know, I just woke up in the morning, it was there. Every morning, every day of the whole time they were in the wilderness, they were fed by God. Every day, every believer is fed by the bread of life. That's in the ark. And the third thing was Aaron's rod that budded. I am the vine. Ye are the branches. And I don't know if they want to go into that. There's a little bit of that Aaron's branch was dead and then a new bud come out of it. But it might have something to do with the Jews in the future too. You never know. But that was placed in the ark. In Christ. He has made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. In whom we live and move and have our being. He is our bread, he is our life, and he kept God's law perfectly. So that when that mercy seat was laid down on top, blood could be sprinkled on an acceptable sacrifice, an acceptable substitute for my sins. Because he was perfect. In every way that I'm supposed to be, but I am not. In every way that you're supposed to be, but you are not. No matter how much we want to be. And I do want to be. But I'm really bad at it. Now, I'm going to take a couple of minutes. I can't help but think of what people think of this ark. Mainly because of that dumb movie. And I wonder if there's not people out there that think Raiders of the Lost Ark is scriptural. It's a radio to God. No, it's a picture of Jesus Christ. There was a Jewish ceremony so they could take off the lid. No, there wasn't. This ark, whenever it left the tabernacle, which it did when they moved, the first thing they did was cover it. The people didn't see this.
Right. Right.
Only the high priest saw this. Once a year, when it was carried before them, because when the pillar of fire or pillar of smoke went up, that meant we're traveling. We're moving because God says we're going somewhere. He's dwelling in our midst. The first thing they did was cover this thing with a veil. Then they covered it with something else. The only person that saw this ark was the high priest. Now, right now, we are priests, because we have been allowed by faith to see the Lord Jesus Christ, to know the Lord Jesus Christ, and even better, to be known of Him. See, it is a mystery to some people because they don't get it. They don't understand. And I didn't understand for about 23 years, and actually a few years after that, some of this stuff. God is real. God actually did dwell in the midst of these people in the wilderness above this tabernacle and showed himself as a pillar cloud by day, a pillar of smoke by day, and a pillar of fire at night. It was there in the strange thing. I started on this a couple weeks ago. Was you got Nadab and Abihu who stood still and saw the salvation of the Lord at the Red Sea. They crossed over the Red Sea, dry shod. They went up with the 70 elders, their father Aaron and their uncle Moses, saw the Lord and lived and did eat. And then you'll find out later on they offered strange fire. And God killed them. That's human nature. I could do the same thing today, if not for His grace. And anybody else can do the same thing today, if not for His grace. And the world does the same thing every day. And all day long on Sunday, because Walter read it last week, talked about it, they receive not the love of the truth. Jesus Christ is the ark. In the wilderness and in the temple in Jerusalem later, He is the ark. And if they found it today, if I found it today, you know them fellas on scrap for gold? They'd be seeing me. Because I don't want nobody to put it in a temple anywhere else. And it's not necessary now. Because the archetype has come. And the sacrifice has been made and has been accepted by the Father. Whether we accept it or not, that's a whole other thing. God accepts it, it's over. It's good to go. Because it's finished. Our Heavenly Father, we're thankful again to be here. And Lord, we do ask for Your blessings and Your help in this world, because we need Your help. We need Your Son, our Lord and Savior. We need Your Spirit to teach us and to help us understand, Let our eyes see and our ears hear and our heart understand your word and your will and your way. Because we, who may not be of the world, are still in the world and are surrounded by falsehood, by lies, and by blasphemy. And we need your blessing this day and every day. In the name of Christ we ask. Amen.